This episode is brought to you by the Metropolitan Housing Coalition.
Did you know that nearly 1 in 4 Louisville households are energy burdened? The Metropolitan Housing Coalition's Every Home program continues to build bridges between affordable housing and affordable utilities. No more than 6% of your income should go toward energy bills, but many families pay far more. High energy bills can force families to choose between keeping the lights on and buying groceries, a choice no one should have to make. Together, we can make every home safe, healthy, and affordable. Learn more and get involved at everyhomelou.org.
So we're here today with John Whipple. John, welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward.
Well, thank you, Bruce. It's good to be here.
I was intrigued when I came across your website because I did not realize that you could use .run as a top-level domain. And then I started looking at the website itself and some of the things you stood for in your background. And I thought, I want to learn what John learned when he ran for office. So that's why I wanted to have you on.
Okay.
You ran as a write-in 4 years ago in 2020, and then, I mean, in 2022. And then in 2024, you ran as the Democratic nominee in District 10, and you got 31% of the vote. Josh Calloway held his seat, but you did get a good number of votes there. Tell us about that race. First of all, tell us about District 10. Where is it and what's it like?
All right. District 10 is all of Breckinridge County. Mm-hmm. And then a good piece of Hardin County. It's got about the same number of people in both counties, but it's a little bit challenging because of the Breckinridge County part. For me is easy. You know, that's where I live, I work. The Hardin County part is a little bit more difficult because they have so many other people involved, you know, so many other different. It's a different Senate district. It's a different, there's a whole bunch of different House districts there. Mm-hmm. And it's bigger. It's more urban than Breckinridge. So that kind of like splits the district into sections.
Yeah. I looked at the redistricting, and when the redistricting took place, you actually picked up more of E-Town, which seems to me might have been helpful to you. So where does Josh Calloway live? Does he live in E-Town?
Oh, no. Josh Calloway is a big-time Breckinridge County guy. I think a lot of his focus is Breckinridge County. That's where his church is, where he works. And I think that's where he gets a large amount of his support is from the community around his church.
Okay. So let's talk just a bit about you. Your background is very interesting to me. You served in the Army for 23 years. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, thank you for doing that.
I'll tell you, it was a great honor. I enjoyed every minute of it.
I don't know if you ever get tired of hearing thank you for your service, but thank you for your service.
Thank you.
So then you got an associate's degree and a degree in liberal arts, and then you got a master's in education leadership. So what are you doing now?
Well, now I'm a retired school teacher.
Okay.
I retired. This is my second year retired. And the purpose was, well, part of it was because I was concerned about my health. I was having a really hard time, I feel, being able to give 100% to my class, to my students.
Sure.
And so, and then I also wanted to run. And I, like, as you said earlier, I had run as an independent, and I couldn't do that again. Right. And I mean, I couldn't work and run at the same time.
Right.
I wanted to be able to give 100% to the campaign. And so last year, that's what I did. I recovered my health and was able to focus on the campaign. I was able to look at Breckinridge County, the Hardin County part of it, get to know that a whole lot better. I started working with people in Meade County. I reached out to Grayson County. Mm. I helped Jamie Skudlarik, who was running as a 5th District Senate candidate. Her and I worked together a lot on both of our campaigns. And that's basically the what I've been doing since I retired.
So I'm not going to put you on the spot about, are you going to run again in 2026? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have more name recognition now, which should help. So how was the campaign? Did you have a good set of volunteers? Did you have a staff? How did all that work for you?
I will say that in the beginning, I was on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then after the primary, the Democratic Party makes a really big thing about that, whether or not, you know, you're the nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At least that was the case for me. And then after the primary, and I really believe that after the President Biden stepped down and Vice President Harris stepped up as the candidate for the presidential thing or the presidential race, that changed a lot. There were a lot of people that came out and got really interested in not just the presidential politics, but the local and state politics as well. And mm-hmm. That was when all the support started to build, you know. I was going to say we started doing things like going to the county fairs, going to district events, going to party events around the area.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get, what kind of help did you get from either KDP or your local Democratic Party?
Well, I got a lot of the, we're glad you're a candidate type of support. I got mm-hmm. a lot of the, support that they offer everybody as far as how to run the advice on how to run a campaign. The local party, the county, the Breckinridge County Party, I'll have to say was in a bad shape at that time. We've done a lot in the past 6 months to build that up.
Hmm.
We've gone from having a Breckinridge County Democrat event where there's three couples to an event where we have 30 to 50 people.
Mm, wow.
So, and that's just in the past 6 months.
Are you on
I think a lot of that started back during the campaign, back during the election when people started getting fired up about not being afraid to be a Democrat, not being reluctant to talk about it.
Okay. So are you on the executive committee in your county?
I am the chair of the executive committee in Breckinridge County now.
All right. Well, congratulations on growing that thing.
Yeah, thank you very much. We've got a full party committee now, executive committee. We've got people planning events. We were going to go to the county fair for the first time in like years. We're actually going to have the Democratic Party table there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to participate in the parade next week. So there's a lot of things going on that we didn't used to do.
That's excellent. So let me ask you this. This is really the main reason that I wanted to interview you. Sure. So you ran in obviously a red district. You got 31% of the vote, which is not bad, considering that was pretty much what Democrats across the state got. You have since grown this thing. What would be the top two or three things that you learned from that campaign? What were lessons that you took away from it that you would share or tell to anybody thinking about running in a red district?
Well, I want to say one thing about the 31%. I got 1,000 votes more than all the other Democrats in our area on the ballot for that thing. So, and I think that part of that is because I focused on our local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to identify as a Kentucky Democrat rather than as a national Democrat, if that
sure.
makes sense. And so to answer your question, I think that Democrats need to show that they're here for our local area. They're here for they need to go to city council meetings. They need to go to the circuit court meetings. They need to have our name recognition, not just on signs, not just yard signs, not just putting road signs up. They need to actually have talking to people, go be a part of the Chamber of Commerce, go to stand out there in the road and help collect money for Crusade for Children. Be where people can see you.
And doing all those things in some way that they know that it's a Democrat doing it, some way that the party is doing it, maybe?
Yes, exactly. Like I said, it is time for Democrats to quit hiding their, you know, because they're out there everywhere doing all this stuff already. There are people doing this stuff already. And we need to be able to be, to show that we're not afraid to be Democrats, that we're proud to be Democrats, that we are every bit as patriotic and every bit as family oriented as anybody else.
Excellent. So what sort of issues, when you were out campaigning and door knocking and whatever kind of campaign work you did, what sort of issues really resonated with the people you talked to?
Well, as you know, last year was the vote no on, that was the year we had the amendment to change the Constitution regarding public education.
Right.
And so our big thing, I'm a retired school teacher, retired public school teacher. And so my number one issue last year that I talked to people about was vote no on two. And, you know, as we all know, that was soundly 100% defeated. And my strategy, my hope was that everybody that voted no on two would also vote no for the people that actually put it on the ballot in the first place.
Right.
If I don't like what you suggested, then I'm not going to vote for you.
Right.
But that didn't happen. That didn't work out.
Mm. Yeah. There are a number of people who said we didn't see the crossover from the no on two to the Democrats, but was that a messaging problem? Do you think that we just didn't really get that message out there?
Well, I don't want to criticize the people that were involved in the, that ran that program, that took the ball and ran with the, what do they call it? Protect Our Schools.
Right.
Right. They did an excellent job. I just wish that they had focused more on vote no on two and vote for public education friendly candidates. You know, when I talked to them, they were very 100%. We're going to do this nonpartisan. We're going to be totally without bias on this. We're not going to support Republicans or Democrats. I'm like, I know that there are all kinds of public education friendly Republicans out there. I have no problem with saying, vote for that Republican because he's supports my issue. He supports public education.
Right.
So what we should have done when we ran that campaign last year was say, vote no on two and vote for public education friendly candidates. And that didn't happen.
Right. It's 6 months later and your party structure in your area is better thanks to your work and the work of others. What sort of reaction are you seeing or hearing, if any, from people in your area to what's going on in Washington?
Oh, in Washington.
I mean, are they upset about the actions of the person that many of them voted for?
Well, I think that the big thing right now, the reaction of people in this area about what's going on in Washington is the so-called Big Beautiful Bill.
Mm-hmm.
In the past month, I've been to three different activities or events that were against the Big Beautiful Bill, that they were concerned of the effect that it would have on SNAP and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
That's the huge concern right now. And we need to make sure that people are aware that, yes, this bill will affect them, that all of the issues, you know, that they're concerned about the eliminating fraud, waste, and abuse. My concern is that when we stop all of that, that we're also going to prevent people that need that support from getting it. And that because they're not getting the support from the federal government, that aid still has to come from somewhere. So it's either, since it's not coming from the state or the federal government, the state or the local governments are going to have to handle it. And I don't think the state of Kentucky or the Breckinridge County, I don't think we're ready to handle doing the job of the federal government does right now for SNAP and Medicaid. And I think that a lot of people in the community have the same concern.
If they really want to talk about fraud, waste, and abuse, one question would be, well, then why did Trump fire all the inspectors general who would be the ones who were looking for that? But that's another question for another day, perhaps.
Right.
All right. So I have a final question. Actually, I have two final questions. The first one is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
No, I just, my main message right now is that we can't wait until next year's election to start talking about this stuff. We have to start building people, building membership in our parties, building capacity to be able to do things so that when the time comes, we're ready. For example, right now, I wish that people were talking about the school budget, the budget that they're going to write next year, and the things that we could do in the budget to fix teacher pay, for example. Like there's there's a statewide minimum threshold for teacher salaries. It's like $29,500 a year. That's the minimum that the state says a school district can pay their teacher. Well, if the state was to just raise that minimum, say, to $35,000 or the average wage a starting teacher gets in Kentucky, raise it up to that rate, then all of that would in one stroke encourage the districts to raise their teacher pay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we need to start talking about that now. We can't wait until January knocking on the door, because in January, they're already going to have their proposal written.
Oh yeah.
We need to tell them now what we want.
Okay, good. Okay. My final question, which I ask pretty much everybody, if I gave you a magic wand and you could use that magic wand to get anything you wanted, you could have anything happen. You could have something show up, anything. What would be the one thing that you would use that magic wand for?
Well, one of the things that I do outside of, in addition to working with the party and working for candidates, is I'm a CASA volunteer. That's the court appointed special advisor for children,
right,
in the foster care program. And my magic wand would be to find a place for all those kids to have somewhere to live, that somebody cared about them, where they were safe and they could grow.
Excellent. That's a great answer. And I agree with you that that certainly is something we need.
Right.
John Whipple, who ran for House from District 10 and is now leading the charge in his area for the Democratic Party, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Well, Bruce, it's really good to be here. Thank you all.